Daf Tesvav and Aleph, and we began a tremendous machlokas here that's going to engage our minds for at least today and maybe even tomorrow between Abaye and Rava. And you'll see this on the very top of Tesvav and Aleph where we started yesterday. So we'll just quickly review what we did yesterday so that we can have a landing today. Itmar, Lechi ha'omed me'elav. And the Gemara is addressing the following issue. The lechi that is matir mavui for tiltil, does it have to be put up deliberately and consciously for the sake of a lechi? What happens if there happens to be a lechi there? It just was there. Is Abaye Omar, Abaye says, havi lechi, it's valid. You don't have to put it up for the sake of and the purpose of a lechi. Rav Omar, lavi lechi. It's very important that you, and critical that you put it up for the sake of a lechi. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, let's whittle down this machlokas. It's not as radical as you think. Even Abaye agrees that going into Shabbos, it has to have the status as a lechi. You can't decide in the middle of Shabbos, oh, you see this pole over here? Let's make it into a lechi. So, heichadelo samchinen alei me'esmo, if he didn't rely or have mental intention going into Shabbos, that this should be a lechi, kuli amalo pligi, even Abaye would agree, de lo avi lechi, that's not valid. Ki pligi, here's the machlokas. There was a lechi that was not placed in that location explicitly, intentionally, for the purpose of functioning as a lechi, but before Shabbos, there was a decision made by the Bnei Amavui. Again, I don't know who represents the Bnei Amavui. You know, in kibbutz, they have always these different, groups that represent committees. You know, I don't know who the committee is for the Bnei Amavui. But the committee of the Bnei Amavui said, you see that tree over there? You see that pole over there? It's Erev Shabbos. Let's agree to designate that as a lechi. And that's going to be a machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Hechi de samchinen alei me'esmol. If on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, they agree, the Bnei Amavui, that this will serve as our lechi, Abaye Omar havi lechi. Abaye says that the very fact that they agreed and intellectually they designated this piece of whatever it is, we'll see different kinds of things that happen to be there, as a lechi, that's fine. Why? Because samchin alei me'esmo. As long as entering into Shabbos, we had a lechi for this mavui, it's matir the mavui betiltul, and that's fine. Rav Amar, lo avi lechi. Ravi says, no, that's not a valid lechi. Why? Kevan de mikara, when that original, piece, whatever it is, we'll see trees and so forth, was planted or grown, lava daiti dehochi avin. Is there for lavi lechi? In other words, Rav is saying that it's not enough that on Erev Shabbos you point to something and say, well, let's agree that this lechi. You have to have established it, you have to erected it, you have to locate it there from the get-go explicitly for the purpose of being a lechi. So that's where we were up to. That's where we got up to yesterday. So today we're going to start with Kasalchid Daitach. And you'll see this approximately 8 lines down from the top. The first word of the line is lechi. Kasal kedaitach. Whenever the Gemara says kasal kedaitach, it means let's go through this, let's analyze this sugya based on a premise which we're going to reject later. You know, sometimes the Gemara sort of lets the cat out of the bag. That there's a premise here which we're about to formulate about the machlokas Abaye v'Rava, which is later going to be rejected. So kasal kedaitach, originally the Gemara thought that ki hechi de pligi belechi pligi nami b'mechitza, that this identical machlokas between Rav and Abaye and lechi applies to a mechitza. That whenever you need a mechitza, the mechitza has to be established, according to Rava, from the get-go as a mechitza. You can't just take something that happens to be there and assume that it's a mechitza. So I'll give you an example, maybe one or two examples of what the Gemara has in mind here, according to Rava. Let's say you need to put schach over what's called mechitzos, tefanos. They have to have walls of a sukkah. Let's say there happen to be trees, let's say your neighbor next door has trees, you have trees in your backyard, and the trees form tefanos. They really protect you on every side. Well, they have to serve as a mechitza. And Rav is saying, you didn't put it up for the purpose of Mafitza. His trees were for him, his garden, and your trees were for your garden. Or let's say, for example, you may remember we had a discussion more than once about Pasei Baros, right? You have that well, and the well is located in a Rishus HaRabim, and you want to draw water, like the Olei Regel, right? They wanted to draw water in order to give their animals to drink. So we were able to set up Pasei Baros, right? Those 90-degree pasim on each one of the four sides of the wall of the well. And let's say, for example, there may have been something that was there beforehand. It wasn't put up there for the express purpose of serving as Pasei Baros. Pasei Baros are four mechitzos that surround this well and make it into a Rishus HaYochid so that you can draw water from the well, which is a Rishus HaYochid, into the area around the Rishus HaYochid. And the Gemara thinks now that according to Rava, no. You can't get a mechitza, which is halachically valid, just because you decide that that should be your mechitza. It's got to be put up as a mechitza. There's a shem mechitza, halachic legal entity called a mechitza, and you have to generate that status. And the status of mechitza has to be generated from the moment of its inception, when the mechitza was erected. It was erected and set up for the purpose of serving as a mechitza. Toshma. And again, we're going to go through a few proofs in order to reject this salka daitach that the machlokus between Abai v'Rav is even about a mechitza. Toshma. We have a Mishnah in Sukkah, ha'oseh sukkaso beino ilonos. If a person sets up his sukkah between the trees, right, there happen to be trees that surround an area, and you want to set up that area as a sukkah and just put schach on top of the trees, you know, in such a way that the schach is hanging over that area. V'ilonos tefanos lo. And he wants the ilonos, these trees that were planted as trees, not for the sake of sukkah, to serve as tefanos. These should be the walls of his sukkah, kshera. It's perfectly okay. So we see clearly that we have a mechitza hasuya me'le'a. In other words, it was not created for the sake of serving as a mechitza, but it was hasuya me'le'a. It was like almost automatically created. It was in the natural universe, right? That you can travel, especially if you go towards Yam HaMelech and those areas and Sdom and so forth and so on, and you'll see En Gedi, all those trees over there, right? There are tons of trees. So those trees were not set up as a sukkah. So let's say Mitzvah Hashem will find, you know, that there's a group of trees that surround an area, or we have a line of trees that close off an area. So we'll just put up another dofen here and so forth and so on, and make it into a sukkah. And guess what? The Brisa says that's perfect. The Mishnah says that's perfectly valid. So what are we going to do according to Rava? Rava says that a mechitza shenaseis lemei leha, if the mechitza wasn't set up originally for the express purpose of serving as a mechitza, it's not valid. Hachol ma'yaskin gemara answers shenetan mitchil lekach. He actually had an area where, let's say in his backyard, he wanted to put his sukkah up. You know, it's like people today. You know, we live in a very sophisticated contemporary society where they set up an area in their house as a sukkah, and then they have a roof that opens up and closes. So here also, he set up an area for his sukkah. He actually planted trees to surround that area, and he had the express intention from the get-go that these trees that will grow in Mirtz Hashem will serve as the defanos of my sukkah. If that be the case, pshita, why did the Mishnah have to bother telling me that if he planted trees and he wants to use these trees for his mechitza, his defanos of sukkah, he's allowed to do so? See, Bishleim, if we say that this Mishnah is coming to support Abaye, then the chiddush of this Mishnah is against Rava, meaning that even though you had trees that happen to be growing there in the wild, nevertheless they can serve as mechitzas and you can set up your sukkah. But if we're holding now that he had planted these trees for the express purpose of serving as a mechitza, so why would I think that there's a problem here? That's obviously kosher v'yosher. Mal de same, I would have thought ligzar, the Rabbanan should institute a gzera, that we don't make trees into our definus of sukkah. Why? Because Dilma, we don't plant trees for the purpose of these trees serving as the walls of our sukkah. Because Dilma osi lishtamushe be'ilon. Okay, so for this we'll give a little bit of a background here. And that is that Midrabanan, we're not allowed to use trees on Shabbos. You can't lean on trees. You can't climb onto trees. You're not allowed to sit on a tree. All this is prohibited. Why? Because Chachamim were afraid that if you play around with trees on Shabbos or in Yontif, you might come to, you know, to harvest, to pluck some of the fruits off the tree. In any event, the bottom line is that we're not allowed to benefit from trees. So therefore, imagine setting up your sukkah, and the walls of your sukkah that surround you in the place that you're going to live for a full week are trees. So maybe we should make a gzera that, you know what? Perhaps he's going to look at this tree during sukkahs on Yontif, or even worse, on Shabbos of sukkahs, and he sees, wow, look at that tree. It's got a beautiful lemon on it. Then he's eating his salad, he's eating his salmon, and he wants to take a lemon. So he just stands on a little stoop ladder, a little chair, and he grabs a lemon. And he violates the Iser of Kotzer, of harvesting on Yontif, or on Shabbos. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah says, no, we don't make any gzeros. You're allowed to live anywhere in the, you know, as long as you want in the proximity of trees, even on Shabbos, on Yontif. We're not afraid that because you're enjoying the benefit of the trees, therefore you're going to climb up on the tree or perhaps pluck something off the tree. Toshma. Now we get to the case that we mentioned earlier called Pase Biros. And in Pase Biros, you have to set up these four corners, those amudim, machitzos, which will set up a rishus hayochid and encompass all the area within these four imaginary machitzos, and this would allow us to draw water from the well, which is a rishus hayochid, out to the area that is encompassed by the Pase Baros, these Amudim that are around the well. And the Braisa tells us, Hayasham Ilan O Gader, O Chitzas HaKonim, Nidon Mishum Diomad. Right, the Diomad are those Mechitzos that we said, you know, the two sort of like poles that meet each other at a 90 degree angle, like a resh, you know what I mean? And that's called a diomed. And now the Braisa tells us, if you happen to have a tree, or you have a fence that's made of stone, and it has the width that we need, right, the width has to be one amma on one amma, right, one amma this direction, one amma in the width, one amma in the north and in the west. Or you have chitzas hakonim, so these are reeds that were planted one next to the other, and they're so close to each other that they form a mechitza. All that is fine to serve as diomadim, as the two amudim on each corner here of the resh, and they serve as pase biros, which means that what you have here is something that's growing in nature. Like we said, he's got an Elon, which is a tree. Or perhaps he has Kanim, these reeds that are growing. And he's allowed to rely on this. Again, you know, the Elon, this is very typical of trees, you know, that trees actually do form a little bit of a 90 degree angle. Very often there's like an indent into the trunk of the tree. You know, you look at the tree and you'll see like it does form, the tree on the bottom really forms like a 90 degree angle. And in this particular case, he's got an Elon that has an Amma going this direction, an Amma in that direction. It's a perfect, in a sense, replica of a Diumad, which is one Amma by one Amma. And the Braisa says that it's valid for Pasei Baros. So we see that you can set up a mechitza that is really born in nature, and it's an Elon, and even though it wasn't planted for the sake of serving as a mechitza. So Gemara tries the old answer, Hachinami. Here also we give the same answer to defend Rava. Why is this mechitza, which is Nases Meileh, valid? Because for my asking, what's the case? Hasan mitchilu lakach. In other words, he knew he had a well over there, and he foresaw that at some point they're going to have to create a Rishus HaYochid around the well in order to be able to draw water from the well on Shabbos. And he planted a tree, or he put up these kanim, you know, these reeds, or he put up a little bit of a stone wall that has a 90-degree angle, and it's one amma by one amma. Ihachi maiko mashmula. So once again, we're going to ask the same kind of question that we asked before. What is this Braisa coming to teach me? Obviously, if he set up these, you know, these walls or reed gates or the tree was planted, it was all done for the purpose of mechitza. So the Gemara answers, Kamash Malan, the Braisa wants to teach us a certain din that applies to Diomed. And that's the din of Chitzas Hakonim, right? Those reeds that we said form some sort of a resh, you know, that shape of a kone pachos mishloshet tfachim. Okay, now what happens is here that when he sets up reeds in one direction and in another direction, because again everything has to have that 90-degree angle in order to be pasei baros, there was a certain distance, a certain airspace between this part of the reeds of the Chitzas HaKonim and this part of the... There was a kana here, with an airspace of less than 3 tefachim. So we want to apply the principle of what? Of lavud. Ukid Abayi minei Abayi mirava. And Abayi had doubts, and he raised this question to Rabba. What's the deal? What's the status of the Chitzas HaKonim? There was one kana here, one kana there, and the distance between one kana and the next kana was less than 3 tefachim. Can that serve as a valid yomed as far as pasei baros or not? And Rabba quoted this braisa that we're learning now to prove that it's a valid mechitza. Why? Because the distance between part of the chitza kanim and the other part, kana v'kana, is less than 3 tefachim. So that's the greatest chiddush of the braisa. Again, all the other parts of this braisa, we had the case of an elon, we have a case of a gader. I mean, those are simple. You know, if you set up the elon and the gader for the purpose of a mechitza, there's no question that's valid for pasei baros. But the big chiddush here was chitzas hakonim. And because we're talking about chitzas hakonim in a situation of kana mikan and kana mikan, that there's a kana here and a kana there, and the distance between the two of them is less than 3 tefachim, and this would answer Abayi's safek, and this was Rabba's answer, that this braisa says that even though they're not exactly touching each other, but as long as the distance, the open air between the two of them is less than 3 tefachim, then we apply the principle of lavud, and we have here a valid pasei baros, a valid mechitza. Okay, let's just see if there's anything else I wanted to add. He writes here that between one board and another, there is wider. Okay, so fine. Whatever. That's enough for us. Toshma, Elon HaMesich. Mesich is Miloshin Schach. Like when you have Schach, that's called Mesech. So you have Ilan HaMesech Al HaAretz. And what it means is that you have a tall tree, and the branches and the foliage of the tree spread out in different directions. So let's assume that the tree is 10 tefachim high, which is the minimum shear of a machitza, and the branches will spread out until they reach the ground. So it's like an archway. You know, it's a circular shape, because this Elon is growing branches that are bent over, and they actually reach the ground at a certain distance. Now, let's see what are the measurements that are necessary here. He says the following: Im ein nofo gavom in aoret shlosha tfachim. In other words, you may remember that we spoke about a concept called the machitza tluya. You know, when the machitza goes down, but there's airspace, it doesn't reach the ground. So as long as it reaches within three tfachim of the ground, it's as if it reaches the ground, and that's called lavud. Umetaltalin tachtov, and on Shabbos you're allowed to carry underneath the foliage of the tree. Now, we see here that the branches of the tree and all the foliage that grows on the branches is considered like mechitzas. And a mechitza has to have 10 tefachim of height, and then we said that the branches start bowing, so to speak, or circling and bending around after they reach the height of 10 tefachim. And we're saying that the area underneath the foliage, underneath these bent branches, is mutar b'tiltul, meaning it has the status of a rishus hayachid, as if it was surrounded by four mechitzas. So we see again that we have a case of a mechitza naseis me'leha. It's just a tree, and the tree with its branches set up a mechitza. But this was not created by a human being for the intentional purpose of setting up a mechitza. It's against Rava. Hachinami ma'iskina shenato mitchil l'kach. The Rav again is pressed, hard pressed against the wall. He's going to have to say that this tree was planted for the express purpose of setting up a mechitza. Again, I have to assume, maybe I'm wrong about this, that the tree was grafted from some other place, or it was transported from another place. So he knew exactly this very unique kind of shape of a tree, where the branches of the tree are bowing, are bending, until they finally reach the ground, or at least close to the ground, with less than three tefachim before the ground. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi." Well, now, Rabosai, we're getting into some very heavy, heavy Erevin waters over here at this particular juncture. So what I'm going to suggest is that we're going to go through this Gemara for about 5 minutes, just to get back on the main track here, because our main goal is Abai V'Rava, the Machlokas Abai V'Rava, on Alechi Ha'omed Me'elav, and whether or not Rava would apply his requirement to the case of a Mechitza. But on the way, we're meeting up with a bit of a complicated sugya, which really doesn't belong here. It only comes in here through the back door. But it's a major sugya that we're going to have to study later on. So we'll just try to get the general sketch of what's going on here. The Gemara is about to tell us that the area in which you're allowed to carry has a limited space to it. that limited space is going to be the equivalent of 5,000 square amma, but we'll get to that in a minute. What I mean to say is that not every case of a Rishus HaYachid, which is surrounded by Mechitzos, allows you to carry within. The exception to that rule is something called a base sasaya, which is a gigantic area that is surrounded by mechitzos, a very, very large area. You know, it reminds me of the Astrodome in Houston, Texas, right? Or, for that matter, what used to be Shea Stadium. I forget what they changed the name now. City something or other, whatever it's called. Anyway, so you have an area that has mechitzos, but it's a very, very large area, and it's called a Beis Sasayim. Now, the words Beis Sasayim, as the Masifta points out here, giving a little bit of an introduction, is an area for planting Shnei Sa'im Shel Tvua. Okay, so we're talking about a volume called a Sa'a, and we're multiplying that by two, and the area that you would need of farmland in order to plant two sa'im, that's called a base sa'im. Now, how much area do you need to plant one sa'? And then we're going to multiply that by two. One sa', in the case of grains, would require an area in order to produce one sa', which is a large volume of grains, is 50 amma square. Which means that a Beis Sasayim is 100 amma square. No, I'm sorry. That's not correct. It's actually, if you have 50 square and you double it, so it'd be 100 amma on 50 amma, right? You only have to double, let's say, the length. Bimaruba, if you square it off, it's Shivim amma v'shirayim al Shiva amim v'shirayim. So it's 70 plus whatever, mashu, square. 70 amma square. Now, Chachamim made a takana that if you have a place that is mukaf mechitzos, which means, according to the Torah law, it is a Rishus HaYochid, and you're allowed to carry from one end to the other, no problem. But the Rabbanon instituted a takana, they enacted, that if you have an area that is surrounded, and the area is a Beis Sasayim, which we said is 70 amma square, that's called a Beis Sasayim, then are you allowed to carry inside the Beis Sasayim? And the answer is no. You will allow you to carry four amos, but that's all, out of this massive area that's over 70 amos square. However, this is where life gets a little bumpy for us. I gave you the example of a stadium. I don't think that's what we're talking about here, but rather we're talking about an area which is eno misukon legamre b'mechitzos gemuros. Again, these are words that either you're brilliant and you'll be able to memorize them, or you'll have to write them down. I don't have right now access to a whiteboard. I'm sure with this technology I could probably do it if I just took the time to learn how to do it. But for the meantime, if you could write this down, we're talking about an area which is eno misukon milashon takona, eno mitukon legamre b'mechitzos gemuros. And we've discussed on many occasions that there's something called a mechitza gemura, which is a physical mechitza that would, you know, stop a little goat, a young goat, from going in. And then we have more or less imaginary mechitzos, you know, mechitzos which are not really physically solid. So, for example, you can have a mechitza that is made of horizontal strings or wires. Like, for example, you can create a kind of a gate that goes, you know, that's gated off, you know, one row on top of the other. Or you could have it going vertical, and you have vertical poles, one next to the other. And those are not real mechitzos. And again, obviously, this would require a great deal of sharpening up, you know, to really have a clear focus on what we're saying, but it's not called mechitzos gemuros. They're not fully developed physical mechitzos. They're imaginary mechitzos. Now, this area, by the way, of Beis Sasayim has to do with the Chatzer HaMishkan. Okay, we don't have to right now get into that, but the Chatzer, the courtyard outside the Mishkan, had 100 amah of length and 50 amah of width, which is exactly a Beis Sasayim. Now, another concept that we have to introduce here, which again would require a blackboard to write on it, is called Hukaf Lidira. That's Hey Vav Kuf Pei Lidira, for Dira, for living. There are many areas that are surrounded and protected, but not for the purpose of living, of dwelling, of residence. They're not Hukaf Lidira. So if you have an area that is very large, and the hekef mechitzos were not done for the purpose of dira, like for example a stadium that we gave before, but I have to add the other condition that they're not mechitzos gemuros. In the case of a stadium, as we know it today, a ballpark, we have full-fledged mechitzos, but let's say we don't have full-fledged mechitzos. So in all these cases, if all these conditions are met, and you're talking about very large, and it's not real mechitzos, and it's not hukaf l'dira, in those cases, the Rabbanan said, we're not going to allow you to carry more than 4 amos. We're going to treat it as if it's like a quasi rishus harabim, and we're not going to treat it as it's a rishus hayochid. Even though, again, according to the Torah law, we don't need hukaf ledira, we don't need that it be mechitzos gemuros. All these conditions are dropped as far as the Torah is concerned, and you'd be allowed to carry there. But the Rabbanon added these conditions, and if those are not filled, then you're not allowed to carry. Now let's go back to our case of Ilan HaMesich Al Ha'aretz, right? So we have this case of a tree, and the branches of the tree bend over, and they reach close to the ground. And the Gemara says, according to Rava, this tree was planted for the sake of serving as a mechitza. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that be the case, li taltil b'kulo, he should be allowed to carry anywhere underneath this tree, or in this case, the branches of the tree. Even if you would imagine that tree was gigantic. And what do I mean by gigantic? Alama, why is it that Omer Avhuda Bereda Rabbi Yeshua, with regard to Ilan HaMesach, he qualifies, he says, Ein mitaltelin bo, ela besa sayin. Meaning up to the area of a besa sayin, which we said was 70 amos. But if, bingo, this area reaches besa sayin, again, it's hard for me to imagine a tree that would be so large I don't know, I guess maybe, you know, on my next trip to some way out country, if they ever allow planes to fly and everything like that, maybe they'll send me to some tree that has a spread of branches that's more than 70 amma square. I don't know, that's a large area. But anyway, Rav Huna qualifies that we're only allowed to carry under this Ilan HaMesich up to an area of Beis HaSayim. If it's more than Beis HaSayim, then you can't carry there except for Arba Amos. Oh. Now, we have a rule that this limitation of Beis HaSayim only applies if it was lo hukaf ledira. In other words, if you didn't have in mind when you set up these mechitzos that you want to use it as a dira, as a residential area. But here in our case, Rava was forced to interpret the Mishnah of Ilan HaMesech al HaAretz as addressing a scenario in which he actually planted the tree for the express purpose of setting up mechitzos. Obviously, he wants to use that area as a dira, whatever he wants to do there, but he wants to enjoy the benefit of that area. So that's called hukaf ledira. Now, when it comes to an area that's hukaf ledira, you're allowed to carry in the entire area, even if it's greater than the size of a Beis HaSayim, even if that area is greater than 70 amma square. So if this Ilan was planted, according to Rava, as a mechitza, because he wants to set up his dira there, again, you have to talk about very thick foliage, you know, because if there's a couple of branches with a couple of shoots here or there, then that's not going to give him privacy. But we're talking about a real thick, I have a little bit of a picture of it here in the, a colored picture here in the Masifta, beautiful picture here of an Ilan HaMesich. And it's really got thick foliage. You know, I'm thinking if I can find out where this picture was taken, I'd like to go there and maybe have a picnic there. Anyway, it's hukaf ledira. So if that be the case, we don't understand Rav Huna's restriction, and he qualifies that you're only allowed to be metaltel underneath this Elon if it has an area of up to but not beyond Beis HaSayim. And if, according to Rava, he set up this tree for the purpose of mechitzos, he wanted to enclose that area, apparently to live there, then why is Rav Huna insisting on this qualification that it has to be less than an area of up to Beis HaSayim, but not beyond HaSayim? So the Gemara answers, Mishum Dahavi Dira Shetashmisha la'avir. Okay. There are two types of dira. There's real full-fledged dira, and then there's dira which is for the purpose of serving for dira, but that itself is not dira. So the example of this, which is called Tashmisha la'avir, is a little budka, as you'd call it. Do you know what I mean by a budka? Like, I know that word from my army days here in Israel. A budka is like a little hut, and beyond that hut is a great area of grazing or farming, and they used to put shomrim. People would stay in this budka, not for purpose of living there, but that's where they would set up shop, so to speak. But they really didn't intend to live there. And these were the people, because the budka was set up at the entranceway into a great field, they were really serving the field. And that's called Litzorech Avir. V'chol dira shetashmisha la'avir ein mevatlim ba ela beis hasayim. So let me read to you the Hebrew translation. He says, that Zuhi Dira, this case of the great tree with its foliage, is a Dira She'ena Asuya L'tzorech Ishtamshus B'tocha El L'tzorech Ha'avir She'chutzala. Now, when it says Tashmish L'Avir, what does it mean for the purpose of air? The word air here is representative of something that's outside. In other words, you have an enclosed area and there's air outside. So the Gemara says that afilu im notas ha'ilon bishvil shiyah mechitza, even though he planted this tree for the goal of setting up a mechitza, lo nases mechitza zu lodur ba, he didn't have in mind that he would enter into this foliaged area and, you know, set up his family life there with his wife and his children as if it was his private home. But rather, it's a nice area to be protected from the sun for the Shomrim, for those who are protecting the fields, right? Because, you know, they didn't have scarecrows in those days, so they needed human beings to keep away the wild animals or trespassers or whatever. So they hired Shomrim. And the Shomrim were out there in the blazing sun, so they needed some sort of a budka, meaning some sort of a shady area. And he planted these trees, or this tree, in order to create shade for people who are serving the area, which is called the Avir Michutzala, the sadeh that's contiguous, that's located right next to this tree. So again, nobody really wants to live and set up his domicile inside the tree. He's residing there only on a very temporary basis because he's forced to do so. He needs a shady area so that he can function in his capacity as a shomer, as a security guard, if you will, for the field. And in such a case, dira shetashmisha is only le'avir. It's not to live inside this dira, meaning underneath this foliage on a permanent basis, set up his residential area there, but rather he needs it in order to serve the avir michutzala, that's the field that's contiguous, is then ein metaltala ela beis hasayim. Then we impose this restriction that if the area is larger than a beis hasayim, then we're not going to allow you to carry there. So again, just to summarize, we have something called the Beis HaSayim, which is a very large area that's surrounded by technical mechitzos, but not real mechitzos, but legal mechitzos. And it was hukaf shelo l'shem dira, that the hekef mechitzos, surrounding mechitzos, were established for that area, not for residing there. But it's like, you know, he's having a picnic there. You know, in this case, it's not a picnic. It's a budka, you know, some sort of a shade that is being supplied for the shomrim, for those who are watching. Toshma, we learned in a brisa, shavas betel. Okay. Now, we're talking about Tchumen, right? Tchumen means that wherever you start your Shabbos, we're going to allow you to walk within a radius of up to 2,000 amma. So Shavas means, where did he establish his Shvisa? Where did he start his Shabbos? And in this case, he started in a tel. Right? A tel is some pile or sheaves or whatever that protrude from the ground, and they are 10 tfachim above the ground, and they are 4 tfachim in width. We'll call it a mound, okay, for lack of a better word. So there, in that case, is shavas betel shugavah asura vehu arba amos v'ad beis hasayim. And another case, that the Bryce is going to add is v'chein, he was shoves in a neka, so instead of something being above ground, now we're talking about something that is subterranean, right? It's underneath a, like sometimes you have a cave, you have stones, and you have a crevice, and it's very deep. It's asar tfachim deep. Uvi arba amos ad beis asayim. Again, it has the width of 4 amos up to beis asayim. Now he has a third case, which is v'kama k'tzura. He's got a pile of grains that were already harvested. Vishibolos, and he has, you know, kernels of grain that are 10 tfachim high, makifos osa, and they surround this area. Is mahaleches kula v'chutzala alpayim ama. He's allowed to go from that area, that tail, or that neka, that kama, 2,000 ama out of that place on Shabbos, because that's where he was shoves. That's where he establishes shvisa. He will rest in that area. We'll give him a radius of 2,000 ama. Now let's prove from this brisa, we're talking about a machitza nasis meileh. Right? Who set up this tail or this neka? It's a natural phenomenon. And yet, we're setting it up as Rishus HaYachid, and it has mechitzos, and you're allowed to carry there. Not only are you allowed to carry there, but it's your personal Rishus HaYachid if you were shoves there, and we're going to allow you to walk 2,000 amah away from that place. And that's your Makom Shvisa. And a Makom Shvisa here is a Rishus HaYachid that's set up by mechitzos. And that's exactly what he has. But these mechitzos are natural mechitzos, and they weren't a product of human labor. V'chitem, and if you'll tell me, Ochinami, b'shosh kisha osa mitchilu lakach, perhaps he set up a tail artificially in order to have a mechitza. Is bishlema kama l'chaye? The brisa can be understood as far as kama is concerned. Kama means that which grows from the ground. And the zriya, you can tell me that he planted it in order that it should serve as a mechitza. El a tel, but a mound, v'neka, or some sort of crevice, is my ikal of meimar. What are you going to tell me? I mean, this is something that was always there in nature. And it serves as a mechitza, according to this brisa, yet it wasn't created for the purpose of serving as a mechitza. So let me give you a summary of this brisa. The brisa says the following, that if a person set up his residence going into Shabbos, in a tell, a mound, that's 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, or alternatively, he took up his Shabbos residence on Erev Shabbos in a cleft, or I called it a crevice of a rock, that's 10 tefachim deep, and once again it's 4 amos wide. Like if you've ever been to the Beit HaKvarot in Tzfat, right? So they tell you where Chana v'Sheva Boneh supposedly are buried, and this one and that one, they're crevices. You go down some steps and there's a wider area. Or alternatively, he set up his Shabbos residence in a clearing of heap of reaped grain and standing stalks. And he's allowed to carry in that area. It's considered that it's enclosed by mechitzos. So what are you going to tell me? That these walls were set up initially to serve as mechitzos. Okay, maybe you could say that in the case of grains, but in a case of a cleft or a crevice or a mound, I mean, those are natural phenomenon. Those are not man-made mechitzos. And here's where the Gemara turns around and says, I'm going to throw up my hands. At this point, it's crystal clear that something in nature could serve as a mechitza, even though it was not set up as a mechitza by human, you know, man-made partitions. These were initially not made by man, but by nature. And therefore, the Gemara is going to say, Ella b'mechitzos kulei alma lo pligi, even Rava would agree that havya mechitza, that a mechitza that exists in nature can be validated, will be validated as a mechitza ki pligi. Rava only disagrees about a lechi, which is a rabbinic entity that was created by the rabbis in order to be mater of mavui. Abai l'tamei, Abai is understood, the Omar lechi mishum mechitza, and just like in the case of a mechitza, is mechitza asuya me'lea havia mechitza, and Rava doesn't deny that, so we'll apply the same yardstick to lechi, and even if the lechi was there in nature, and it wasn't placed there intentionally by human hands, it still could serve as a lechi, as long as Erev Shabbos they designated it as a lechi. But Rava l'tamei, Rava omar lechi mishum heker. Rava holds that a lechi is there not as a mechitza, but rather to remind the people that we are putting up this lechi to close off the mavui, and that the tiltul here is only in the mavui and not in a rishus harab. Is therefore, you want to set up this heker, you want to set up a notice, certification, a notification to the people, a public notice, is e avida biyadayim. If you created that lechi, then everybody understands it was created for the purpose of heker, havi heker. But ilo, if it's only there in nature, is lo avi heker, and it cannot serve as a mechitza. So this is where we get up to today. Here on Daf Tesvav and Aleph, we're up to Toshma, Avnei Goder Hayotzos Min HaGoder. And that's where Belineder will pick it up tomorrow.